This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello and welcome to In Conversation, a DubLab podcast where each week we will bring you interviews from the DubLab radio archives.
DubLab.com. Tune in, Autumn Leaves There, Cold Cut. Been listening to a few classic Cold Cut tunes, and we're here with Matt Black of Cold Cut. How you doing, Matt?
Hello, really good, mate. Thanks for having us.
Fantastic. So you played a great show here in Los Angeles last night. That
Thank
was
you.
The final of your tour.
It was indeed, yes.
And you were around United States, Canada.
That's right. We've been doing North American tour. It's the first one Cold Cut have done for about 3 years, and Ninja, we have a division that runs Ninja Tune in North America, and that runs out of Montreal. Mm. And so they brought us over, and we started off in Canada, and then sort of weaved down to DC and New York, and then weaved back into Canada over to Winnipeg and Edmonton, and then back down into the States for the West Coast, which, as you pointed out, we've just finished. Yes!
Yeah.
No, it's been fantastic, but a bit of a shag, actually. You know, we all need a little break now.
Yeah, I'm sure traveling takes a lot out of you.
Well, it's all in the head, like most things, really. You know, you say, oh, it's terrible, we're having real stress and so on. But, you know, I'd sooner be doing it than working in a fucking coal mine, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Plenty of people having a lot harder time than us. So it's I think, like, moving around the different time zones can be a bit stressful to the body, definitely. That can weigh down a little bit. But, yeah, the Ninjas all been getting a bit holistic in our old age and, you know, starting to do stretches and stuff. And this chap Gordy, who's doing the merchandise, selling merchandise for us, has also been giving us a massage. We get a massage every few days from him, really full-on, decent hour-and-a-half session. And that's helped really keep everyone together, I think. Also been drinking plenty of spirulina and smoothies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we also compiled the Cold Cut tour survival brochure, I think, as well. Then there's always the vinyl junkie scenario, which I don't subscribe to so much, but Darren, who's been supporting on the tour, and Jonathan, my partner, relentless vinyl addicts like most of the Ninjas, so they've been spending a lot of time racing around tracking down rare vinyl, and we're thinking we'll perhaps put a list of all the best record shops, you know, on our site, and then think, well, perhaps we won't.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just put a list of fake record shops. Oh yeah, there's this amazing place, it's right out of town. Uh-huh. That would be a bit too, even for us, too wicked.
Somehow end up in debt after the tour. You
know? Well, yeah, vinyl can be an expensive habit.
So this tour marks a special occasion. This is the 10th anniversary of Ninja Tune Records.
That's right.
So it's been a great 10 years, I'm sure, kind of a long journey for you. If people don't know, you founded Ninja Tune Records back in 1991.
Yeah. Well, Jonathan and myself have actually been working together for 14 years now. First Cold Cut record was getting on for 14 years ago. And that's longer than most relationships last, man. But we're getting on better than we ever have, actually. We're really developing a good sort of on-stage little bit of telepathy, which is what you need when you're not actually synchronized together. And yes, Ninja Tune is 10 years old, and that's been an excellent celebration all round. I mean, a few months ago, we were like, oh, God, we're going to be 10 years old. I suppose it's really wicked. Yeah, I suppose we have to have some parties, and we're going to have to do some tours, and it'll be loads of work, and, you know, Warp having their 10-year anniversary, so maybe no one will notice our one, and, you know, it's going to be a bit of a pain. But in fact, even though it kind of turned into a bit of a bloated mess, it was a funky and quite organized mess, and with all the artists on Ninja Tune have been doing gigs, and our paths sort of crossing at various sort of junctures, and then there's been the Ninja Tune compilation, the new box set Ninja Cuts 4, which has been very well received, and I think it's a quite strong set, really.
You know, we could or Zen Cuts 4, whichever way you look
yeah.
at it.
Sorry, Zen Cuts 4, yeah. So, you know, the it's a normal thing to do would just have been to put on like a lot of the favourite tracks so from the thing over the years. But, you know, people can still get those, so we thought we'd put on a mixed bag of other stuff that hasn't been so easy to get and little things that kind of slip through the net.
A lot of, you know, material 12 inches and stuff that were hard to come by that we're finding on here, so it's giving people an opportunity to get their hands on those if they didn't before, which is nice.
Cool. Well, it's actually selling pretty good. But the best thing really has been that we've been doing these parties and it just kind of dawned on me recently, really. I think I was in Amsterdam and just about to go on stage for the gig and sort of making my way through the people. And looking around and seeing all these excellent, funky-looking people and realising, hey, they've come to have a party with us because they know they're going to have a good time with Old Man Ninja. And
this is not actually part of the CD. The CD doesn't skip when you buy it in the store.
Is it supposed to sound like that?
Yeah, that's Amon Tobin's. That's actually an exclusive mix we had from Amon. So.
Sound.
So, well, missed, skipped, and flipped, right?
Yes.
So there you go. That's the skipped portion.
Keeping
for you.
On the track or off it.
Yeah.
So that it's been brilliant because all the artists on Ninja we've been hanging out together and actually feeling like a family and a tribe. And everyone says, "Oh, the Ninja family, it's amazing." And we're looking at each other and thinking, "Well, we are a family." And you know, Mr. Scruff's an incredible DJ, and Mixmaster Morris is incredible, and Amon Tobin's blowing up, and Kid Koala is really wicked, and the Herbalizer, you know, the funkiest band in town. And you know, it's all good. It really is good, and I think it's encouraging everyone on the label to keep it real, stay focused on the music. Our brotherhood and sisterhood of music, it's a conspiracy of good music is what Ninja's about, I think. And you know, forward into the next 10 years on feeling stronger than we ever have, which feels good.
What would you say the mission statement of Ninja Tune would be? You know, when you formed it 10 years ago, has that mission statement changed, or is it still basically the same?
It's still basically the same. I think Nietzsche said, or possibly Goethe, some German philosopher body who's supposed to know what they're talking about, keep true to the dreams of thy youth. And we want to keep hold of that idealism, which basically comes from something in a way that's quite selfish but very important, which is a love of music, a love of funky music. I mean, John and I started DJing because the school discos and parties we went to, the music was shit, so we had to, to take control and start learning how to do that. And it's everyone who's on Ninja, everyone who works in the Ninja office is a music lover. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. They're certainly not there for the salary or the financial rewards because, you know, they can get a lot more for working for the man. But if you're into your music, we've got a tribe of like-minded people that put that as priority one. And careful with the cash, crazy with the music is the Ninja motto that Pete came up with to describe sort of where we're at the moment. And that's always been the same.
So, what do you look for when you're looking for new artists or signing someone? If someone sends you something you're into, you know, are there any elements that you know really strike you as important, or you know, even personal? I'm sure that someone might have great music, but in order to want
to bring
them
in the ass, they're not going to get signed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We want chilled out people that are not going to get into artistic tantrums and stuff like that. But I mean, that's a given. You know, you're asking to define the sound of Zen, or you know, what is Zen? Do you know what I mean? Which is, if the Zen that can be written down is not the true Zen, and the definition of the Ninja that can be written down is not the true Ninja. But factors such as the ability to make wicked music that stands out somewhat from the other music that's out there, because it's so easy to produce music at the touch of a button now. I mean, we've actively promoted and encouraged that ourselves, and it's wonderful. But as Juan Atkin says, when everyone's got the same equipment and can use it, and you know, that the mystique, if you like, of those expensive old machines has been largely removed by the fact that we can all get on down and do the same shit on our computers nowadays, it comes down to who's got the ideas. And so that was what we'd be looking for from an artist on Ninja Tune. Music with character. The character of the artist to somehow be reflected in the music, so there's something more there than a clever noise. And I think when you look at Eric Kid Koala and Amon Tobin, you know, it cannot be written down, but that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that element, that's kind of the magic element there.
Yeah, you know, it's called doing your own thing and believing in what you do and having something to say. That doesn't just come from nowhere. I think we've all got it, but it's buried deep in there, and a lot of people don't know where to find it. the lucky people who do can shine, because it's the, yeah, it's the perhaps a, you know, the most important thing in artistic expression is that character. Mm.
So you and Jonathan now are working on a brand new album, and it'll be a process from here.
But it's the new album kind of thing. It's not a game that John and me want to get into. You know, I've been saying the new album might not be an album, it might be a TV program. It probably will be an album, for the fact that despite all my brouhaha and enthusiasm for digital technology and multimedia and so on, it's actually music that pays our wages and keeps Ninja Tune going. And my kind of research and development department, that's my special interest, sort of the software, the video and the internet side of things, doesn't actually directly make any money yet. It's starting to get returns from it, but it's music that pays the bills. So there will be a Cold Cut album, and we are working on it. We've got a couple of tracks in production, but mainly it's a list of ideas at the moment, potential collaborators or just concepts for tracks. I'd like to do a track about why we're teaching our kids that guns are cool and are a normal thing to have around. I've got a 4-year-old son, and I think it's really sick. You know, when I was a kid, people used to debate about whether television actually affected the behavior of people. That debate is pretty much over. And it was obvious what the answer was at the time. Yes, it does. Otherwise, they wouldn't have adverts. And now, I think, now that that's actually been recognized, there sort of comes a battle to actually, get that taken note of, and actually the implications of that to be recognized, so that we can actually change what we're teaching ourselves and teaching our children. And the idea that kind of guns are a normal part of life and a cool thing to be playing with, even if they're plastic, is, I think, an extremely bizarre idea. As I'm sure anyone who has been shot or who loves someone who has been shot would come to that view quite easily.
Yeah, or even the fear of getting shot one day, everybody knows that it's not.
And this is fucking LA we're in as well, So, yeah. So anyway, without getting too paranoid, that's like, ideas like that are on the stack, and John and me will be steaming into them in our Slack way in the future. We're also working on writing proper songs, because when you've made a large number of instrumental tracks, even with funky, clever samples, the human voice and poetry and human expression still remains central to musical art. And it's an interesting thing to try. It's all very well being good at pressing the buttons and clubbing the machines into submission to do what you want. Doesn't mean you can write a good song. When you start to try and write one, you find out just how tough it is. And it's great fun. It's actually very therapeutic writing. I'm trying to write stuff about, sorting my head out and the spirit and becoming happier, all those things that really, life is about, in a way. That's what a lot of songs are about, love and life.
And, so you guys will definitely, you'll be actually doing the songwriting in this case?
Well, yeah. We're doing it. We've written with my girlfriend Holly, I've been writing some stuff with her, and we've written about 5 or 6 songs. And we're probably going to be doing quite a lot of those on the Res Rocket internet jamming project, which means that we can work with other musicians around the world to provide input to these tracks. And resrocket.com, it's a wicked system that had been several years in development and now is actually working and is a solid tool to use for musical collaboration. So I'm going to be staying with Willie, who's one of the main guys behind it, in San Francisco in a couple of weeks' time, doing some jamming. And
that's an actual online music application. So
exactly.
You could be in London and you could be working with Willie, producing tracks together, collaborating online.
We can use standard music tools like Cubase VST or Logic Audio and have a copy each. He can be in San Fran, I can be in London, and we can be working on a track together in a virtual studio. So, yeah. Stay online. It's a new way to work.
You've actually designed the VJam software, which came out, is it a couple of years ago now?
It's, yeah, about a year and a half ago, yeah, something like that.
What was kind of the idea and the inspiration behind that?
Well, we've designed... Cold Cut have been messing with multimedia ideas for a long time, and John and I actually come... from backgrounds with quite a strong visual strand to them anyway. And, people ask, well, why are you putting visuals into it? Well, it's like, with all respect to blind or deaf people, most humans have eyes and ears, and we're well into those modes of sense. And so to provide art which stimulates both of them is a good thing to be in. And of course, that's why film and television are two very, very powerful forms. But we wanted to take that attraction and the ability to, you know, have people's awareness and attention and fuse it with the kind of DJ cut-up dance music collage aesthetic. So to that end, we've derived a live show based around laptops and two pieces of software that we've developed to do that. I used to be a computer programmer, but I found it a bit hard, so I gave up. I have been vaguely programming computers for 25 years, and so I'm able to have conversations with programmers on a reasonable level as to what can and cannot be done. And the two pieces of software are called VJam and DJam. It's possibly slightly confusing, but you know, there is the connection there between the VJ, who's dealing with visuals, and the DJ, who's dealing with sound. In fact, it's a bit more complicated than that, because VJam is an audio-visual program. We describe it as a piano for sound and vision. It's for the PC. If you want to check it out, you can go to vjam.com. That's VJAMM.com, and that will take you straight through to our page where you can check out a demo and stuff like that. And that's a very simple program, but quite a powerful one. And we built it because we wanted to be able to treat audio-visual samples in the same way as a DJ or musician treats sound samples. So, for instance, people might know our track that we did with Hexstatic called Timber, which is a sort of audio-visual rhythmic collage composed of images of axes striking trees and chainsaws. So when we've got a bit of video of a chap wielding an axe striking a tree, we record that into the computer. We record the sound in, the ka-junk, as the axe hits the tree, and the image of him swinging the axe. And that's one sample, which is called an AVI file. On the Mac, it'd be like a QuickTime file, but on the PC, it's an AVI file. And by having a number of samples like this loaded into memory, I can quickly trigger them as if I was playing a piano or a percussion instrument. I hit a key on the keyboard, and straight away, the clip begins to play. So I can, if I've got a chainsaw and an axe, I can have like... And just as we collage beats together, we can do the same thing with audio-visual samples. So that's what we developed VJam to do that, and it's kicking it, and we can use it. I mean, we can be a whole funky pirate television station out of three or four flight cases and have a live show which is pretty much different to what's going on. It's a bit difficult to describe it in audio terms, but... The visuals get projected on giant projection screens.
Yeah, and people definitely see the connection between the audio and the video. It's very apparent it's...
In fact, we've had to spell that out because a lot of people think they're just seeing a tape. They don't realise that John and I are actually generating 95% of this live. And so we've found various ways to try and show that it is live. A couple of years ago in Toulouse, I was playing the bit where we use King of the Swingers in the Jungle Book, and I'd fucked it up and totally lost the beat, and the crowd started cheering and really going for it, and I realised that was, you know, the key for them to actually see that it was live was someone making a mistake.
It's not always in perfect sequence.
That's right, but if it is in perfect sequence, people accept it as something pre-recorded because it's too perfect. So that was a bit of a realisation. So after that, when we fuck up, we don't mind too much about it.
And life's not in perfect sequence.
No, that's right. I sometimes deliberately do it crudely, knowing that I can get away with it because people will check for the liveness of the action. But even that wasn't quite enough. We put the Jungle Book in the show because it's so well known, and you know, of course, it was in Sacred What Time Is It, our first record, and so to come back, you know, 10 years later with that, but taken to the audiovisual level, I think is saying something about our evolution and where we're going. But people do love that bit, and it's a crowd pleaser. And really, we should have a lot more obvious bits in the show, using footage of, you know, Jimi Hendrix and Terminator and all kinds of and game shows and all the best known stuff, because that would spell it out to people even more. But another thing we've done is to have a pair of my headphones have a little colour camera, video camera mounted on above one ear, and that's focused on the laptop and the live setup. So you're seeing from the camera pretty much what I see, and so you can see from the other side of the laptops what I'm doing with the the set. And that, I think, has actually spelled it out to people.
Yeah, I think that's when it's really apparent, when you actually see your hands moving to the beat and, you know, scratching a record. And
it might, you know, it might look a bit crude, and in a way you're letting people see behind the curtains as to, you know, all the wires and mirrors and so on. But we do want to spell it out.
Giving them the opportunity to also have the software themselves.
We want to give them the opportunity to have the software, because not because we want to fucking make loads of money, but because it's a good crack, and when people have a go, they get really into it. And, you know, I think it's not too much to say that there's potentially a new art form here, and we want to retire and let the kids get on with it, so we can put our feet up and get our heads blown by some fantastic art. That's a large motivation behind it as well, truly.
Yeah. Let people know because you say with the Cold Cut live show, it's a traveling pirate TV station. Let people know about Pirate TV as well, which is an actual station you can always go to.
Well, we have a number of internet projects on the go, and the main one, apart from the main NinjaTunes site, ninjatunes.net, is probably piratetv.net, and that's run with my friends from the UK and, in fact, around the world. We've managed to build up a little crew of people that do different internet broadcasts, very much like Dublab.
I wonder what sort of a bear his wife thinks he is.
I love it.
Sounds crazy.
1, 2, 3.
Just a quick aside there. All these bits of spoken word and so on, it occurred to me recently why we use them. And, you know, people are going on about the humour element and so on. It's because we're making puns. It's punning. That's why when Eric uses a sample that says, "His fingers itched from their curious profession. They hungered to ply their wicked trade." It just cracks me up, because I know he's taken that from, I think, a horror film where they're talking about grave diggers, you know, plundering people's bodies. But it's "his fingers itch from his curious profession of scratching. They hunger to ply their wicked trade." Do you know what I mean? It's an extended pun that he's making there. And I think that's a lot of the attraction of using all these spoken word phrases. It's, you know, recontextualization, you could call it. But
well, it's nice with the Fink album recently, Fresh Produce, to kind of go back to the, you know, the NinjaTune style of, you know, the early 90s was, you know, known definitely for more of the kind of spoken word elements and cut and paste, and that album really kind of kicked back to that, you know, did it in new ways, but it was nice to see in some of the exact same, you know, snippets.
I think Eric is actually, Kid Koala's particular master of that. I love the Fink album, which came from nowhere, and I think it's one of my favorite albums on
Kid Koala's been amazing with, you know, the scratch, cratch, ratchatch, and all that stuff is just mind-blowing.
See, Eric's a very favorite son of Ninja, not just because he's an amazing turntablist, but because he's got that combined with his character as well, which basically takes it to another dimension, and it makes you smile, which is what we want at the end of the day.
Yeah.
The Fink album, I was just thinking about that on the way here, funny enough, and I was thinking about the spoken word. Do you remember we were talking about A1 Records when we drew in here? And there's that bit that he goes on about, you know, "Oh, I'm just collecting records, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm just in the records and they're taking over and stuff." And I was thinking, that record, if you got the 12, you can play it on 33 and 45, and the vocal still sounds weird either way. And I reckon he did that vocal himself. I don't think it's a fan vocal at all. I think he actually, you know, he's talking about himself bullshitting on about all the records that he's got, and he just put it through, he probably put on an American accent and spoke through a harmonizer. I don't know, someone proved me wrong and sent me the original sample, but you can play all kinds of games with that.
So have you guys done that? Have you recorded your own vocals using music?
Yeah, we have. And sometimes, you know, you got a sample, you might actually sing or speak over it yourself to kind of disguise the original texture, but keep some of it in there. I mean, on Cold Cut Christmas Break has the unique feature, if you can call it that, of John and I live on kazoo.
Nice.
So inspired by the, you know, the birthday party, Grandmaster Flash and all that. In fact, here we have a fine kazoo-style solo.
Yeah, this is amazing. The first time I heard him do this, my mind was blown. It's just, you know, jazz solo, turntables. And people were trying to do a lot of this before, but the way he came up with it, you know, the drunk trumpets, right on.
I think, this is definitely one of the high points of Eric's set. And this is actually realizing that definition that proper turntablism is jazz.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about jazz, and at the beginning, after everyone had finished plundering James Brown and all the other functions, like, right, okay, what can we rip off next? Oh yeah, jazz, that's cool, we'll get into that. There's bound to be some good samples there, and it was a natural follow-on from the Rare Groove scene as well.
And that was an actual live recording.
As opposed to, that actually, even though he's just doing it using scratching and pre-recorded records, it still is jazz.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, just taking a loop from a jazz record and putting it in your track and then saying that you're jazz is not particularly jazz. I think Morris defined bopportunism as the act of claiming that there's always been a jazz element to our music. So I have to be a bit suspicious of that.
He's definitely an interesting character in the whole Ninja Tune crew.
Sorry, I should perhaps... I want to give a bit more of a plug to Pirate TV because there's a relationship with DubLab. We're both trying to do similar sort of things, which is we're using the net as a new form of broadcast system. And in fact, it was Morris who first actually got me off my ass to do the first Cold Cut website, because both Morris and I come from science backgrounds, got into music and got into computers. He was a chemist, I was a biochemist. And just having that basic computer experience, when the web started off, it was really pretty easy to write code. I mean, it's still easy to write code, but it's a bit more complicated now if you want to get it all funky. But in those days, it was just a text editor and HTML, and you know, he showed me a bit of code, and I just cribbed it and copied it and modified it and made it into the first Ninja site. So that was how I got turned on, was through Morris. I was aware of it, but it was him that gave me the kick up the arse. He wrote his own site as well, of course.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when the domain took off, I went and registered loads of domain names. I thought Pirate TV, that sounds pretty good. I always wanted to be a Pirate TV station, so PirateTV.com had gone, so I had .net, which in some ways is cooler anyway. And a guy called James Stevens, who is from London, he founded what was probably the first kind of public access cyber cafe in London, which was called Backspace. And this was downstairs from the Ninja Tune hindquarters in our crummy warehouse on the Thames, where we were all working at the time. So this building, there was a wicked community of people, that quite a lot of net people and some other record labels besides Ninja Tune and some studios. And there was James providing really cheap internet access, and also getting all kinds of activists and hackers and agents of different kinds to hang out and have little parties
shady
down there.
Characters.
Various shady characters, so it became rather a center of that kind of cutting edge of the scene in London. And James explained that it was possible to actually netcast using we just had a 256k line, which Levi's were paying for because they were sponsoring the previous company that James had been working for. And it's nice when you see big companies having, it's not so much that they're evil, although they are, a lot of them, but it's more their stupidity that I have a problem with and that holds them back. And it means that there's no point in dealing with them because they're too stupid. So when they do show signs of intelligence, like getting a good new shit hot web company to design their website and giving them some money, they should be encouraged, really. So that was really what founded and funded the initial netcasting system. Ran out of backspace, and James said, look, you could do some stuff on this, why don't you do some netcast, we can put anything out on this stuff. So we did, and that's how we started piratetv.net. Registered the domain name, got it pointed up, setting out, and with a lot of help from people on the technical side, from my friend Bongo and Ellis and Engin, and if you guys are listening in, big shout out to you, of course. And we've expanded, and people often ask us to sort of describe how we're organized. Well, there isn't really an organization. Ninja Tune is a proper company and so on. But more what we do is it's kind of an overlapping network of posses. Overlapping posses, like I overlap with you guys. You know, we're all into the same stuff. And it's like I said before, it's kind of a conspiracy of music and wanting to do some good, fresh stuff. And fuck the dollar signs. Let's just get on with it because we don't need them anymore, you know? So piratetv.net is a pirate TV station on the internet. It's not illegal. That's the nice thing about it. When John and I did pirate radio, we could have gone to jail for that, and people did get arrested and go to jail. It's interesting that in the UK, if you do a pirate radio station, you could get 2 to 3 years in jail. If you do a pirate TV station, you could get 20 years in jail. The reason for that is that our rulers correctly perceive that television is the most effective tool that they have for controlling people's minds, and they intend to keep a monopoly on that. However, the net changes things, and, you know, of course, roll on broadband to every home, blah, blah, blah. That is definitely going to come. The net wins.
Especially, I mean, in the UK, that's definitely, it's, you know, it's taken some time. It will hit soon. But a lot of people I talk to say, you know, we need this. We can't wait for this because there are people, there's a lot of people on the net there, but, you know, they're paying per minute and there's
diabolical.
Not a lot of providers over there too. You know,
well, there's some differences in the UK. Of course, we've had the free service model there, you see, because we pay for local calls in the UK. But some clever bod worked out that meant that maybe they could provide free internet access because the telephone companies would pay a company so that people would use that company and be online and rack up their phone bill. So that was a new business model, and that's how FreeServe and our little one, YesMate.com, and all the others got started. So that's an interesting difference. But I mean, you know, we've been saying it, we've been waiting for it for years. We just want broadband, bi-directional broadband to the home now. It's happening sooner or later.
If someone tuned in...
Actually, having said that, interestingly, James Stevens, I mentioned before, has got another very good project going at the moment, which is a kind of shared wireless internet access. And I was fucking waiting for them to build a cable to our doors. They're going to take ages about it. Get a bunch of people together, get some cells going, get one pipe and a bunch of wireless... network devices, and you can actually share an internet pipe high-speed connection without having to be physically wired up for it. So he's been doing that with a bunch of people in London, and I think that idea, I don't know whether it'll win in the long term against broadband, but it's, you know, it's
certainly
available
could.
Now
yeah.
And it's like, yeah, we can't wait, you know, we want to get on with this stuff.
Is he the one who actually runs YesMate?
James is separate from YesMate. Okay. YesMate's another kind of side project that we set up with a bunch of friends to give people free access and to have an online music community. I mean, as I say, it's overlapping posses. But PirateTV.net is pretty strong at the moment. It's, you know, we only have a few listeners. We don't try and large it up and claim a million listeners like, you know... certain
there's a lot out there
people do, but more like it's a family affair sort of thing.
When someone checks out Pirate TV, could you give them an example of what they
see
on
there? I was just going to run
they could that. Actually click on there
you know, on we do regular shows, live shows, so I'm sure you do on Dublab on the regular schedule every week. It's as regular as possible given the slack nature of the people involved and the low budget equipment we're running on, which breaks down sometimes. But Wednesday night has been the longest running session, and that's Cold Cuts Night jam session. My studio is called Space Lab, and I invite the crew around to Space Lab, and we might have a guy playing double bass, Double Dave playing double bass, and me doing beats off the turntables, and John doing effects, and Tim Brand from Dreadzone playing keyboards, and people come in and sing and play the guitar, and we film it all, and it all goes out live on the net. So it's a jam session, which I think it should be, you know, jamming with electronic music is a lot of fun, and is a way forward through the rather one-dimensional bottleneck of the monitor screen, one guy a monitored sequencing, moving tiny hi-hat beats around all day. You know, it's fuck that, we want to get down and have a party. So we party and we pump it out live on the net.
Yeah, it's really
we
nice.
We play archive footage and any kind of stuff we can get our hands on. And then we've expanded beyond Wednesday night to other nights of the week when different posses pick up the stream and take over. So on Thursday nights, Dreadzone do a show. Friday nights, there's various posses that do it. A couple of them from Cambridge, and they do. We've had like Naked Elvis Cabaret, and you know, it's kind of, I'm sure you know this the coup on the net. It's the alternative content and the ability to wig out and just do what the fuck you want, because no one's telling you that it has to be this way. That's the marvelous freedom of it. So, it's pretty open. And
I don't think we'd be sitting here, you know, broadcasting this anywhere if it wasn't for the net, you know.
Well, that's right. They'd have shut us down, mate.
Yeah, we would have had to play 10 commercials by this.
Exactly. It's wonderful. It's really wonderful. So the Pirate TV, you know, is growing. It's just a small kind of thing at the moment. And that's cool because we can't actually sustain hundreds and hundreds of listeners. The most successful things we did in terms of numbers of listeners were the couple of... we did three Radiohead netcasts, and they got interested through Tim from Dreadzone he was friends with them. Sorry, the vocals are putting me off.
Yeah.
So they got very interested in the possibilities of netcasting. So Tim went to their studio, Radiohead studio in Oxford, and took his laptop and a bunch of computers down there and wired it all up for them. And they did some shows on Pirate TV. And they're so well loved that they just need to go to the chat room, the Radiohead chat rooms, and say, "Yeah, mysterious special Radiohead broadcast on now, netcast. Come and check it out."
We'll see how quick the Pirate TV servers crash.
Well, we sustained about 300 or 400 movements of the mind. It's quite difficult to talk with the
Yeah, it is kind of. Let me see.
Ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, Oods.
See if this one's an instrumental.
That's what. Here's a handy tip to DJs. Yeah. Mm. An MC can be a really nice thing to add a lot of interaction, audience vibe to the show. But the problem with most MCs is they don't know when to shut up. They will not shut up, they will not shut up, and they will just rant and rave and shout indecipherable exhortations over every track that you play. So
it's their profession.
Well, it is, but an MC, a master of ceremonies, would handle themselves with more decorum, one would have thought, perhaps. All respect, but John's technique for dealing with the guy who won't get off the microphones, we've had a few. They say, come and rap over your set. You know, I love your stuff. It'll be wicked. So, oh, okay, give him a chance. But the guy won't shut up. So John will stick on a track and say, "Yeah, but mate, thanks very much. The next one's a vocal track." Mm.
So, time to get off the microphone.
Exactly. A gentle way of sliding them off the mic.
Coercion.
Pirate TV does a show from Oxford called Undercurrents. And Undercurrents are the sort of leading video activists in the UK. They go to all the actions, Stop the City and Reclaim the Streets and all that kind of stuff where people are using non-violent direct action to try and effect change, political change, which is vital, I think.
Yeah.
People feel that they don't just have to put up with what's going on, they can actually change stuff. And that's the only way that shit gets changed through history. If you look at that, you know, women would never have got the vote without kicking up about it, and most of the important social political changes wouldn't have happened if people didn't kick up. Of course, our rulers don't want us to realise that, so that's all kind of written out of the history books, but if you look back, it's pretty clear. Mm-hmm. So Undercurrents document this scene, and they're always there on the front line filming and bearing witness to what's actually going down. And that is a very, very valuable function, I think, especially as the mainstream media, as we know, have their agendas, and their agendas are dictated by our rulers. Mm-hmm. And, you don't get information, you get propaganda, which is information filtered through an agenda.
Yeah, well, this is a very good day to talk about that, since we have our elections
Indeed.
Today.
Go and vote, I should say.
Go and vote. Probably, yeah. And
Matt Groening came down to the show last night, which was a real treat, and he actually came to the very first show we did in LA 3 years ago, just came up at the end
Schubert,
and gave us his card. Were you at that?
My brother actually met him, and he had talked to him about putting some cold cut music for Futurama, so he put Matt in touch. And,
so you helped in that connection. Thank you for that. Well, he came down last night, and he's always bigging us up in the press and so on about his love for cold cut and Ninja Tune, and to know that someone like that who's created their own, I mean, The Simpsons has got to be one of the most significant sort of cultural icons of our age, I think, really. I wasn't that knowledgeable about it until I met him. And I went back and people were like, "Matt, The Simpsons, come on." So I sat down and watched it, and it's like, it's a motherfucker.
It's great,
really good.
It's great.
It's, humor is such a powerful weapon against the Nazis every time. They can't handle it at all. So,
yeah. You guys used a bit, actually, in your show.
Yeah, Mike was like, Matt, get out the Bart Simpson sample. So I was like, oh, shit, where is it? So it's like, in the middle of the track, I'm doing a find on my computer to try and find this one sample. I just about got it loaded up and did a quick, this is so, 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 so cool. Mm. And, we talked with Matt about some collaborations with Cold Cut, and I'm confident that sooner or later there'll be some something transpiring from that.
That'd be great. So, you guys could do a whole episode of, Simpsons.
Well,
I'd
quite like, I'd quite like the Cold Cut cartoon characters to be, DJing in The Simpsons.
Would yeah.
be pretty much the ultimate cool.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. That would be nice.
So that's, I was just wrapping up the Pirate TV description that the Undercurrent show's on Tuesday. And there's various other people who do shows, including some guys from Vancouver, who I'd never met. But they pick up the stream. They've been picking it up after our show on Wednesday night, so we can hand the stream around like a spliff, keep it going. Eventually we'll be able to keep handing it around the world as the time changes, and that'll be wicked. But I met these guys for the first time RIL in real life, as we say, and in Vancouver. And I went to their place and they helped me download some stuff, some new clips that Bongo had made for me. And yeah, it was great to meet up with them. They're students, they study philosophy and they're into music and doing their own thing on the net. Wicked.
Yeah, well, it's definitely amazing with the internet, you know, being able to do these continental mixes, intercontinental mixes, and mind-blowing, you know. We actually were the day before you for the Ars Electronica Festival in Linz, Austria. We're here at 5 a.m. DJing, and you know, they're projecting it on screens.
We did one with them as well.
You did it the night after.
Cool.
And you know, just the feeling of announcing the DJ in Austria and having that DJ mix into my last record, you know, was mind-blowing. I came out of here at 7 a.m.
It's great. I mean, you know, but like anything, it's as good as it is crap, because same technology could be used to kind of pipe out the same shit from you know, the mafia music business people who pretty much run things, and just pipe it straight into people's heads over the whole world, which would be really a disaster. But I think there's a few kind of nasty bugs like us in the system that are, you know, powerful enough to still infect a few people.
Keep something new, fresh coming. Yeah, it's good to, you know, continue to push forward. I think the V-Jam, you know, has been, you know, great in that way of, you know, showing people they can use, you know, definitely use this technology in new ways, and it's, you know, in the performance aspect, you know,
they can really use it easily. You can use it, and the kids can use it, and it's fun, and it's pretty fucking addictive as well. You know, actually, the only thing more addictive than playing computer games is writing computer programs, and sequencing and programming music is very addictive as well, because you're actually making something, but yet it's a problem solving mentality, a hurdle jumping mentality, like in a lot of computer games. You know, you solve one puzzle and move on to the next. In this case, the puzzle is how to make a piece of music that you like.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've always bleated on about this for years, but some kind of meltdown, convergence is not a new term, but we feel it, we mean it, and that's what we're doing. We're melting down computer games, DJing, music making, filmmaking, and making it into a new, hopefully not too homogenous whole. And there's a new area there where, you know, parties can be had before the police come. So that's our role, really. You said before, I wouldn't mind giving a quick demonstration. This is actually an exclusive thing. It's not V-Jam. V-Jam is the video software, which I can't really demonstrate at the moment because we haven't got the video hooked up here. But this is D-Jam.
D-Jam.
And that's used by Jonathan in the live show on two laptops.
Okay.
So that he can mix from one track to the next. And D-Jam is a loop manipulation engine. It's a bit like Mixman, which is, and the Magix EJ products, which are out there, but it's got some wrinkles in which make it a bit different in the cold cut style. And the idea is that will be released next year, probably through Steinberg, who make Cubase VST. So this will be the first time that we've had an opportunity to get our shit out there, software stuff out there, through a major publisher. So we're pretty excited about that.
Is everything designed for the consumer version now, or are you guys still working on...
No, we're still working on... John uses in the live show the original version, which only works in Windows NT. So we've been running bloody Windows NT on these laptops for years, which has been quite challenging. The new version works in 98/2000. No Mac version. It's not that I hate Apple. I do hate them. I just hate Microsoft just as much. They're all as shit as each other, but it's purely pragmatic reasons. I met a bunch of coders who developed for the PC, and the PC's easier to develop for. So our software is on the PC, and there's not a lot I can do about that. For not very much money, I could get the stuff coded for the Mac as well. But you know, we're a tiny, tiny operation, and basically how these software developments work is we get a little bit of money, and we bung the programmers some money and they do a bit of work on it.
Maybe someone will check out the program and actually do their own Mac version of it.
In fact, we've just been contacted. We always said, you know, if there's a Mac coders out there who want to get involved, then that could work. And actually, we've just been contacted by a guy who has offered to do that. Let me just quickly plug a fabulous site called audiovisualizers.com.
Audiovisualizers.com.
Yeah, and it's a VJ... or audiovisual jockey type of site with lists of and downloadable software, pretty much all the best VJing software for Mac and PC, very nicely laid out, information about each thing, and phenomenal archives of kind of specialist interest, like old video synthesizers, information about them, even clips of their output and so on. A mind-blowing amount of information. Mm. So VJAM, I think you can actually even buy VJAM online there. And there's also a program for the Mac called Vidivox, which Hexstatic have been using on the Mac, which is quite similar to VJAM. I think you'll find the latency is somewhat greater on the Mac version, which is one of the reasons we went for the PC. It's more instant. Mm-hmm. But still a great program to mess around with. So I don't think we'll develop VJAM for the Mac because it's been largely done already.
Yeah.
I'd want to go back, actually, to pay the correct respect to the original inspiration behind VJAM. I heard that EBN, Emergency Broadcast Network from New York, had a MIDI-triggered video sample player, and I wanted one. And I didn't know them, and I doubted if they were going to give it up to us, so we decided to build it ourselves. The initial VJAM is really quite basic, but we're developing it and enhancing it still. And the next version, which I hope we'll be able to release next year as well, the new version of VJAM, is a motherfucker. And we've gone beyond the original EBN concept of the single shot sample video mm-hmm. sample player, and I won't blow it up too much, but really heading out there into a new direction now. But respect to EBN, they did the Zoo TV tour with U2. That's what they're best known for, and they're probably the originators that I know best of this audiovisual cut-up stuff.
Yeah, they are amazing. So are these going to come out in conjunction, the new VJAM and the DJAM?
It's all deals and stuff. We'll have to see how it pans out. DJAM, we've got a deal with Steinberg. That's coming to come out in June. That's looking pretty definite. New version of VJAM is going to have to wait a while. Mm-hmm. But right after this, I'm going to go for a meeting with someone and tell them to give up the booty and let us get on with it, man. You know, it makes sense.
People can also get, you know, in a way, versions of this. It's not exactly, but you can get an idea of how this works. On some of the sites, some of the NinjaTune sites have these interactive video audio sections, as well as the CDs, the More Beats and Pieces, and the Hexstatic.
We've for quite a while we've been trying to give people the most with our CD releases. So the idea of a CD plus would be a CD of music plus some other stuff, whether that's a video, an interactive game, a music toy, and Hex. Was a project John and I set up with Rob Pepperell and Miles Wisman a number of years ago to be the Cold Cut Research and Development Department for these kind of ideas. And if you look back over the years, there's you know, we produced a steady stream of pretty out there, primitive but interesting multimedia new styles of toys and games, which I think we've been reasonably well vindicated that was a valid direction because enough other people have jumped onto it. But we still think it can go a lot further, and we're taking it there with our software. I haven't done this before. Not sure if I should be doing this really, but I thought I might play a little bit of a track on DJAM and maybe talk about some of the different things it can do so your listeners can get an idea. As they're listening to Dublab, they're obviously serious and paying attention, so they deserve a little demo. I don't know if people be interested, but that's
been huge Cold Cut fans, so I'm sure.
Do you think we're plugged up?
Yeah, it should be good. We'll just check this. Let me lower your microphone really quick, and I can turn it around so it'll kind of be over here more if you want to be able to talk. Yeah.
Am I still there? Okay.
So just let me know as far as the level.
If you keep an eye on the levels, mate, of the laptop. So what we're doing here is playing with DJAM, which is Cold Cut's new loop manipulation engine, what we use in the live show, but this is the new version. And it holds 32 samples that are loaded into what we call clip slots. And those samples, those loops are turned on and off from the computer's keyboard, from the QWERTY keyboard. So simply by pressing a key, I can bring a loop into play. Just a second whilst I reset a couple of controls here. Okay, let's bring the beat in. It down to just the beat. You'll hear a few glitches here, probably. Okay, so now I've got that loop playing, I'm going to start chopping that up and mutating it, which is one of the things that makes DJAM different to the other DJ toys that are out there. Check out how the drum pattern changes as I chop it up. Now that's come out with a different variation, we'll shift it again. The way it chops it up is always rhythmic when it puts it back together again. If a loop is swung, it can sound a bit weird, but basically it generally sounds good. If your loop is good, then the chopped up loop will be good as well. Now that's just not, the loop is not changing, but if I turn the variation up, it will keep mutating this loop constantly, a little bit every time. Check this out a bit. Reverse some of the sections of the loop now. Just little parts of it will be reversed. I'm doing all this by dragging around sliders on the screen. It's starting to get a little bit mutated now. I'm going to bring in another loop. Actually drop out a percentage of the sections as well, so even with quite a full rhythm, let me just drop out a certain percentage. I'm going to drop out 30% of the slices now. That sounds a bit weird, but it sounds effective when you have another loop on top, so let's bring that back in. Nice little effect here, holding the space bar down loops a small part of the beat, so you can do like drum rolls like this. Real-time effects on each of these. There's four tracks of loops. Each track has up to eight loops in it, so there's four eights, 32. And each track can have Cubase VST real-time effects put on it. So I'm now going to take the main loop and apply a filter effect to it. I'll break it down to just the main loop. I'll return it to a slightly more normal part. Okay, just about to insert this. Actually, we have Waldorf D-pole, that's pretty good. Select the preset. Eventually, the window comes up. This is running on a 333 laptop, Pentium 2. Turn the resonance up on the Waldorf. The Waldorf control panel's now appeared. And I'm feeding this loop through the effects, and you can hear by changing the knobs on the effects. It's a bit difficult to describe this without you all being able to see the control screen, but
actually I think they can, since we have a camera
really?
Right there.
So. Oh, mad. That's good. Okay, so you'll see then a configuration of which loops are playing and which sliders are up and stuff on the screen. And basically you can snapshot all the controls on the screen using the function keys. There's 12 function keys at the top of the keyboard. By pressing shift and the function key, you snapshot the current position of all the sliders and the current.
So you could revert back to that point.
So let me demonstrate that. I'll snapshot that into one. And then if I go back, I've got random other ones I've done before here. Let's see what they're like. Okay, that's a completely different snapshot. Same samples, same sample set, but being used in a different way. What are we, nine? So I'll swap back and back again. And you'll hear I can actually do that pretty instantaneously. So it can change over in sort of well under a quarter of a second, which is pretty good. And you can name all and save all those snapshots, and you can have eight groups of 12 snapshots, so whatever, 96 snapshots in total, which you can regard as kind of presets. And you can just move between them by bringing the function keys, hitting the function keys, and it always picks up on the beat.
How would you switch within the different groups within there, two different function groups?
Here, you select your snapshot group here, 1 to 8.
Okay.
And each of those then gives you a new 12
I see.
To record into. Okay, here's a motherfucker. Digital scratching is included, so any sample can be dragged onto the scratch window, and then using the mouse clicking, you can scratch back and forth through it. And it never jumps. That's not working 100% yet, but we've got it working separately, and we're going to incorporate the full version in the program. Digital scratching, grafting the skills of the old school vinyl DJ, the old chancer such as myself, onto the new 21st century digital technology, lest we die out, which no one wants to do. So you've got to evolve. DJs are scared of revolution, get hip to the new trip, or die.
Sounded
a bit harsh, but I think that more or less concludes my demonstration for the moment.
We just need a peripheral that's actually a little turntable so you could do some scratching.
Yeah, we've done it. We built a thing called the Dextractor, which is an arm that you clamp onto your deck.
Yeah.
And it's basically very simple. It's just a mouse wheel in a head shell. So the head shell drops down onto the label of the record, so the mouse wheel makes contact with the record. As you move the record around in a scratchy motion, that gets translated into mouse movement, which you can then use to control the scratching of the software that you're using.
The video or the audio, whatever. You actually use that in your live show?
Well, we haven't used the Dextractor live, because even though it's a really good way of showing it to people, it's not incredibly convenient. For reasons I won't go into now, but I think we really have to bring it in, because it looks really good, and it kind of spells out the connection in a really clear, although quite stupid way, between scratching a record and scratching some other shit, and that's one thing we want to get into people's heads.
Well, I can imagine a Kid Koala set using that would be pretty intense.
Indeed, yes. Well, in the live show, I make use of Eric, because when we were on tour with him before, we filmed lots of his sets of him doing beat juggling and scratching and so on, and then we took those videotapes with the sound and took a lot of clips into the machine, sampled a lot of them, and I can put that together in VJam to do a kind of I'm scratching his scratching.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to have a quick look at that? Do you think you can see with the camera? Is it coming out okay on the screen? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Why not? Let's have a quick look at that. I'll just change. Called a shutter. You have to change the shutter speed. Okay, I'm just booting up DJAM here. Actually, let me just quickly show you the scratching again. Oh. Normal service will not be resumed. Okay, you getting this, guys? All good still? Okay. That's our new phrase from the tour, by the way. Thanks to the Americans for that. It's all good.
All good.
Yeah, all good, definitely. Okay, scratch.exe. This is a separate scratch application making a humming noise. And, a well-known sample there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that waveform on screen, guys? And I am clicking and holding, and I can go. It if all listeners would care to email in me a non-disclosure agreement signed in blood, that would be well appreciated. I really shouldn't be showing you this stuff, but
how long of a sample could you put in there?
Indefinite. Any size, yeah. I won't show you the audiovisual scratching because that would just blow your heads too much. and I've got to keep some things secret. Now, what we're going to do, have a quick look at beat juggling in VJam, and I think that will probably conclude our demonstration. Is someone keeping an ear out for Cyril? Is there some people out there?
Yeah, there's people out there.
Okay. Do I want to keep the setting? Yes.
How many tracks in DJam, how many simultaneous tracks can you have?
You can have 32 samples playing at once. It could have a lot more. Since AP recoded the core engine, the mixing engine in machine code, he's had something like, he had 200 loops playing simultaneously on a 166.
Wow.
So the core engine's very efficient, but it's more like we've only got a certain number of keys on the keyboard, and it's all about keeping it compact. Now, we didn't want to get into kind of, Orbital or Emerson, Lake and Palmer territory of having so much shit to cart around with you, because it's...
Do you have the Palm Pilot version ready to go yet?
You know what? I was looking at the Palm Pilot, and there's a MIDI sequencer in it, which I was thinking of maybe bolting onto all this. But, the smaller the better, man.
Yeah.
I've always been into sub-miniature gear. Let's load up Scratching 102, which is a VJam bank, which consists of samples of... the man Kid Koala scratching. This is my little solo part of the show, you see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a great section.
Okay.
Just bringing the mixing the context up and just
scratching,
yeah.
Such a stupid idea. Had to
yeah,
be done
it's great.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
nice.
I'm gonna have to chill to the next domicile. And any last questions? I can
basically, I mean, possibly. You know, we're just huge Ninja Tune fans, and Ninja Tune's been super supportive of what we're doing, and we look to you and to the whole Ninja Tune crew as an inspiration, because without people really kind of taking risks and moving in new directions, we wouldn't be doing Dublab at all. So I think all the listeners as well as everyone here has just been truly inspired by what you guys do, and hope that you keep doing it for a long time. So
we sincerely appreciate that, and all the feedback that we've had from people, good and bad, and from our fans that support us and have come on the tour. It's been an excellent tour. We really enjoyed it. Thanks for Dublab for having us here. We totally support what you're doing as well. And, we totally promise to keep on and keep the faith and keep it real and surreal and keep strong. And if we go crap, I'm sure you'll let us know, but we don't intend to, mate, because, it's got to be an alternative.
we'll have the crap alert. But I don't think that's going to be going anytime soon. So nice.
Let us know. Thank
well,
you very
everybody
much.
Definitely check out ninjatune.net and coldcut.com.
Well, actually, some other bastards got that.
Really?
Yeah, it's a comic distribution. I think coldcut.net is a site that we're going to have soon. But you can get everything from ninjatune.net.
Yeah.
Check out piratetv.net. And if you're into VJAM, vjam.com, V-J-A-M-M, will take you straight there. And watch out for the DJAM software next year. It's a motherfucker. Sorry, I'm using that word a lot. It's because I've been reading Miles Davis biography. Anything's a motherfucker, whether it's good or bad. Yeah. But, you know, funky toys for you to play with. Enjoy.
Fantastic. Been sitting here talking with Matt Black of Cold Cut and Ninja Tune, and we're going to play a tune right now. And actually, I'm not sure. Was this 45 or 33? We'll find out, I guess, in a second. But I hope you've enjoyed it. Dublab.com here with Matt Black of Cold Cut. We're going to hear a tune from the More Beats and Pieces. This is Cold Cut version. Daddy rips it up. We'll find out what speed this is in about a second.
Conversation was produced by Dublab, a nonprofit radio station broadcasting live from Los Angeles since 1999. Sound editing and theme song by Matea Bain. For more programming, visit dublab.com. And thank you for listening.